This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's the Wednesday Talk Show. I'm your host, Tobin Ott. This week, we are pleased to feature Adam Favor.
Good morning.
Your last name is spelled like Brett Favre, but it's Favor.
But he was famous first, so when the telemarketers call me Favre, I just go, yes, that's me. That's me.
Do you get that a lot?
All the time.
Seriously?
And even still, even like if I call for tech support on a phone or something like that, they go, oh, that's like the quarterback. I'm like, yes, I hope you liked him. Because if you didn't, don't take it out on me.
Well, we got you out of the office at Madison Park, the pre-K program out at Litchfield. We're going to talk about the Litchfield pre-K program and what's going on with you guys and some other things. It's been a while since we've had you on.
Yeah, it's been probably about a year, hasn't it?
It has been. It has been. What's going on with you guys?
Well, just got back from Christmas break. I know it's been a few weeks. We're kind of seeing that bump in student achievement and just kids tend to, there's something that happens over Christmas break for many kids, and usually it's a positive thing. They come back with new skills. Sometimes they lose a couple things, but right back in the swing of things. Great thing this year instead of like last year where we took an extra week's break due to the weather right after the Christmas break. We've been able to get back to work and in the business of teaching and learning. So
I tell you what, this year, school-wise, knock on wood,
be careful.
I said knock on wood.
Okay.
Has been pretty good.
Yes.
Weather-wise.
Yes.
I mean, I think this is the season. Last year, we were all complaining about, oh, I'm sick of the snow. I'm sick of this and this. I think this year, we're like, I can't get over this flu bug or I can't get over anything. So this is like the season becoming ill, not necessarily the weather.
And then, of course, once we have one case of it, just assume everybody's going to get it. Whether you've been vaccinated or not, whatever case or whatever bug's going around, we'll all have it at some point.
I had a conversation with the principal over at Hillsborough High School, and she had at one point had like several teachers out with the flu. I mean, it just hit the students, it hit the faculty, it hit everybody.
I think we had that right before Christmas. We had a bunch of staff out, followed by a bunch of kids. I mean, we had classes where half the class was out. And it's one of those things where, you know, schools will do things like, you know, shut it down and sanitize everything and, you know.
Nokomis.
I'm not picking any pot shots, but it just seems like, it just seems like once you open the door for the first time and somebody's gone out in public and touched a door handle, it's all back. I mean, that's the reality of it. And once we know you've got it, we've all been exposed.
That's when the Board of Education says no door handles. Push doors.
Automatic doors everywhere.
Push door. Now, that'd be too expensive.
Okay, yeah.
Other than that, what's going on with the program, though? Everything going well so far
this year? Yeah, things are going well. I mean, we're almost at full capacity. You know, there's years where I wish I had an extra classroom because we have so many kids that want to show up, and this year we're right at the number we need to be at, give or take a couple of kids. Our program's devised on the basis of the grant, we're supposed to serve no more, no less than 120 kids. Mm-hmm. And I say that mantra every time I'm here, and people probably roll their eyes if they even tune into that part of it. But that's kind of our magic number, it seems like. And it seems like the state, in its wisdom, kind of knew that whenever they made some cuts, probably about 3 or 4 years ago, whenever we had the budget cuts and whatnot. And we're kind of right at that number as far as number of kids we're supposed to serve. Of course, the budget to serve that number of kids isn't quite covering everything as usual, but you know that's part of the business of education. So,
one thing we'll find out today with the state of the state address, or we'll find out maybe this week as it all kind of unravels a little bit, what Governor Rauner's plans are for education, because the tidbit that I've received is that's going to be part of what he's going to address today.
Yeah,
that's got to be a good sign because. It seems like he's focused on education, which is a good sign.
And I hope that is the case. And like I said, we will wait and see. I've been excited for, you know, many governors, maybe not Mr. Blagojevich, but after that and before that, I always hear we're going to fix the things that are broken. And the perspective on how you fix those things is always different with each politician. And we will see how that all plays out. I'm interested. I mean, obviously, you have to be interested if you're in the business of education.
I guess the big thing that came out from the State Board of Education, Christopher Cook, basically said if school districts don't take these standardized tests, then you may or may not get funding.
Yeah, that's an interesting dialogue that's going on, I think, across the country. And fortunately, we haven't lost our minds and decided to start doing a state standardized test for all kids in kindergarten through high school, because developmentally, I would say pre-K, kindergarten, first grade, second grade kids aren't ready for that type of high-stakes testing. But it's an interesting dialogue. I know the city of Chicago
said
seems
no.
to have taken a different perspective, and I'm interested to see what cards they're holding in their hands to think that's their play. But we'll, you know, it's a fascinating time to be an educator.
You mentioned 120 students. How is that based? I mean, that's district-wide that potentially could come into the program?
They give us money to serve 120 kids. We have some flexibility in how we do that, but usually within the boundaries of the school district, and that's where we look for our students. That's kind of our mission, is to serve the kids in the Litchfield School District. Then, you know, if hypothetically we were really lacking in kids for that year, but they've still given us money, it is in our obligation to open it up a little bit further and try to make sure we're using the funds that we're given.
And that's not a problem to reach. I mean, projections for the future. And I don't know if you're able to, guess.
Sure.
You know, class sizes or whatever like that.
Lots of things that factor into that, but we have been very consistent over the last 4 or 5 years. That is kind of the magic number. Sometimes I'll have a wait list of 5 or 10. Sometimes I'll leave 1 or 2 spots still open, but usually it's right around that 120 number is a good number for us. There's some parents that don't choose to do pre-kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
There's some years, you know, where there's less 3-year-olds. That we serve 3- and 4-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to send your kid to pre-K at all, and some parents choose not to because of daycare situations or whatever. Or we may have a spike where there just happens to be more kids. How you get at that number, they've got statistical, you know, analysis, but the trend seems to be that's a pretty good number for us. That we can pretty well meet the needs of most that want to come to our program.
And you and I have talked about this over the years. The pre-K program, it's vital. I mean, you want to talk about kids learning social skills with other kids their age, kiddos their age, or anything like that. Pre-K in that sets the table up for social interactions and starts the learning process.
There are all sorts of studies and statistics, and some will say, well, I never had pre-K. Why do we need a pre-K program? And, you know, some will say, I never had kindergarten. Why do we need a kindergarten program? Times are different.
Yeah.
And how kids are raised, what families are having to do to meet ends, there's a whole different dynamic going on now than maybe whenever I was a kid 35 years ago, or when you were a kid, however long ago that was. The times are different, you know, and we're expected, you know, there's a lot more expected of the school system.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many problems we're expected to solve that maybe we should or maybe we shouldn't be involved in, but we are. There's a lot expected. There's much expected of our kids. They're going into a workforce, you know, 15 years from now that who knows what it's going to look like and what's going to be needed from them, and we're trying to develop those learners now. But the statistics, of course, is the recidivism in prisons and people going to prison, and the statistics of did they have a pre-K, did they not have a pre-K, did they have a positive start to their education career versus not. That, you know, there's also, it seems to be a recurring theme when you talk about pre-K programs and how vital they are. Talk to a kindergarten teacher that has a kid that's never been in a pre-K program, and they will tell you how vital it is as well.
The pre-K program, is it still hands-on, or have
yes.
you gone a little bit more electronically? Because you've
no.
got the advent of iPads right. and that, where you've got, what, ABC Mouse or whatever, that
Correct.
Learning program.
Yeah. No, they. One of the things we are required is to limit screen time. There's something we know about kids developmentally, and that's always that balance of how soon do I get my child on technology? How soon do I put them in front of a screen? Mm-hmm. And the research shows that you're not supposed to. And one of our outlines, one of the many things we are required by the grant, is no more than 15 minutes a day of screen time with a child. Well, hopefully we're doing things that are engaging and dynamic enough that they don't want to just go to the computer or the iPad. But we have one iPad or two iPads and maybe one computer in the classroom. So there's not a classroom full of electronics, because that's not what we're there for. If you want to put your child on a computer or an iPad or mm-hmm. a touch screen, that's your right as a parent at school. We're there for 2 hours and 45 minutes of pre-K. Our job isn't to sit them in front of a computer and you know, have
right.
them do their own thing. We're there to interact with them, give them some dynamic learning activities. It's all hands-on, though. All of it.
All
no worksheets.
That's incredible. And that's probably the only phase of education that probably hasn't changed much, because I've been in the Litchfield school district,
mm-hmm.
And I know some of the classrooms. When I was in school 30 years ago, you know, we had a green blackboard.
Right.
One bad kid always got to clean the erasers and that.
Excuse
now
me.
You got whiteboards.
Correct.
Now these rooms have their own basic computer lab mm-hmm. inside. I mean, it's changed tremendously.
Yeah, there are some things we're doing that better than others, and that's again, one of those balances, yes, the computer competency is important. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, one of the things we're looked at as a nation, of course, is generating creative people in the workforce. People still come to our universities to train their best of the best for that creativity part, that innovative part that makes, you know, the American education system what it is and makes, you know, America what it is. By simply doing nothing but computers all day, in some places it's great, and there are probably some schools that's a very, you know, a technical elementary school. We don't have the resources to have one-to-one, mm-hmm. and some will argue, and I will at times also, that one-to-one is appropriate at a certain grade level, you know, one screen for one kid. But we're also discovering is there's some things that go along with that one-to-one that aren't as beneficial. Is the focus then learning and teaching, or is it the fact, how do we navigate this device? What part of that's important? And for me, I will still argue the art of teaching is going to still be absolutely the important part, not learning to use. The computer part's important too, but not the end-all and be-all.
And you're dealing with kids under the age of, what, five?
Yes,
basically?
We've got pre-K is 3 and 4 year olds. I'm also the mm-hmm. principal of the kindergarten first grade building, so I've got them all the way up to 7 or 8, depending on. Yeah.
And that mind is like a sponge, and they're still right. determining, and then they're still shaping about how they, where they want to go, what type of kid they want to be, and
right.
this is a crucial time.
And don't get me wrong, the electronics part's important too. We live in a digital world. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, that's the matter of fact. You know, one of the things I keep talking about, of course, is the PARC testing and how kids, you know, the PARC test that's coming up. It's all computer driven. Everybody needs a computer to do it on, and of course, everybody makes that assumption that, well, kids are tech savvy. Well, they are, but think about what they're tech savvy in. It's not a keyboard mm-mm. and a mouse and a touchpad. It's that iPad. It's your cell phone. It's that touch screen. Mm-hmm. If you could put it on a touch screen, they would be great, but that's not the reality of things. So
my wife and I went on vacation to Florida once with her family, and I'm coming down the stairs, and we've got a five-year-old. She's got a five-year-old niece, and mm-hmm. She's playing with the iPad, and I'm like thinking nothing of it. It was my iPad, and I'm like, how did you get into this thing?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Well, it didn't click on to put the password on, but I'm like, jeez,
sure.
It's amazing what these kids can learn.
And they learn that relatively quickly. And that's one of the things they'll say with the touchscreen devices, and that was part of Apple's, you know, mm-hmm. idea was, you know, it's so simple that even a little kid could use it. I mean, just because it's very intuitive. It's,
right.
We are, for some reason, the human brain, the human body likes that touch mm-hmm. interface. That's why you see people that can't put the dog on things down, and they're constantly touching that screen and checking their email or fiddling with their phone, because it almost releases those endorphins in our brains.
Absolutely.
You know?
The last time we talked with you, I know you had a group called Friends of Litchfield Pre-K. That
Parents for Pre-K. Yeah, they're still active.
Still active.
Very active.
Do they got any fundraisers coming up for
they
you guys?
They actually do. As of right now, and you can go, this will be the plug part, of course.
Radio segue.
Okay, they've got a Facebook page, and it's just Parents for Pre-K. If you do that in a search, they show up. You can also call our pre-K program, 324-3652, anytime you need to. We're also on the website. Basically, they're doing two things, though. They've got a playhouse. They've done this for 2 years in a row now, created by the construction trades class up at the high school. They're raffling off. It looks like a lighthouse this year.
Really?
It's very cool. I'm hoping they talked about maybe putting it out on the pre-K lawn so everybody could see it. They're doing a raffle for it right now. Somebody's going to win that. I want to say it's they're giving it away at one of the Easter egg hunts
in
spring. So the raffle's still going on. You can contact the pre-K program or them on their website. And they've got the trivia night coming up in March. I want to say March 24th.
Okay.
Strikes a bell at the community center. And I think they're still taking tables. $100 a table. They have all the rules and stuff listed on the website, but hoping to have as many people there as well. And it's been a great fundraiser. And what I like about their fundraising is it's a very visual thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
some kid's going to win a playhouse. How wonderful is that? And our high school kids got to build something that's mm-hmm. going to be out in the community. You'll drive by somebody's house and you'll see that in the backyard for years. And then the trivia nights are always just fun.
They are.
You know, you're not, and again, I like the fundraisers.
I think you won
too.
It last year, didn't you?
Year before we were number one. We
before.
Were third or second place last year.
They had to toughen up the questions for you.
You know, it wasn't all me. So yeah, I had a great team last year, just a different team last year. But we had fun, though. And that's, I don't go to win it. I go to have fun. I really do. And I'm not just saying that. We just got lucky a couple times. So.
Yeah, I tell you what, you want an easy fundraiser that raises, if it's done right, substantial money for an organization, whether it's the pre-K program or whatever you're
right.
endeavored for.
Well,
a trivia night is a way to go.
And you engage other people besides just the people involved. And you're not just engaging pre-K families. That's
right.
great, but you get other people from other communities like to do trivia.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's an adult event. It's a adults only kind of event.
I'm glad to see that organization still out and
very strong. And you know, they did Nelson's Chicken Dinner in the spring. That's always gone well. They do races and runs, and I mean, they seem to enjoy it, and they want to support our kids, and I love that about that organization.
You mentioned like the trivia night and the run, and
yes,
proceeds from that obviously benefits the pre-K program.
They
but
do.
What exactly will it go towards?
Right, it goes towards the extras that the state budget doesn't fund, and also I hate to say this, some of the basics. This year, things have been a little bit better. Actually, the grant doesn't cover everything involved with the pre-K program, so our board, again, continues to support the program through some local funds as well. If we're going to take a field trip, Parents for Pre-K is sponsoring that. If we need an iPad in the classroom right now, they're helping sponsor that. If we need supplies right now, I hate to say it, they're helping sponsor that. When we run out of money for snacks, they'll be sponsoring that. I mean, that's where we're going to.
The district doesn't do that? You don't go to the cafeteria and say, hey, I need some...
We can, but somebody has to pay for that. It doesn't
That's
come
true.
Out of the grant. And the thing is, the grant it doesn't quite cover all the things that are expected. If the state says, hey, you can serve these 120 kids, here's the amount. That amount doesn't serve everything that's required to serve those 120 kids. So basically the district's saying, this is important to us,
right.
So therefore we're still investing in this, even though it doesn't cover it all.
And that's always good. You have the Board of Education behind you.
They've been very supportive
on the program.
Yes.
And that's easier said than done, because you know this as well as I do. Boards change, superintendents change. Litchfield, look, I mean, you've
Absolutely.
Gone through, what, 3 and 2 years?
Yes.
You know, but that's the way it is.
Many of their kids have been through that program, and I think it's been a positive experience the whole time. It's not really a question about the quality of it.
Okay.
So
things are going well with the pre-K program. That's
awesome.
Seem to
be. We'll see what happens with Governor Rauner and what the field looks like for next year.
And one other thing I want to talk with you about, you and I are friends on Facebook, and I learned something about you that I didn't even know existed.
Okay.
Photography.
Oh, yes. Yes.
What? Where did this come from?
Oh,
I mean, I knew you were a radio guy. You used to be here. You used to be in St. Louis. I mean,
right.
Where did the photography come from?
Well, back in high school, I was in a photography class with one of our high school teachers, used to shoot black and white film, got away from it for many, many years, had an iPhone that took wonderful pictures, and then a couple of years ago for my birthday, I pulled all the money together I got and bought a nice little interchangeable lens camera, and the rest is kind of history.
And you download your photos, because I see things, photo of the day, or,
sure,
you know, and that's pretty... That's pretty cool.
I do enjoy it. It's I'm not looking to go into business or anything like that,
right.
But it's a fun.
What do you
hobby.
Normally like to shoot? Like your kids?
Everything.
Scenery?
Everything.
See, I'm more of a scenery guy.
I'm
you
everything.
Get me like at Walt Disney World. I love playing around, shooting the scenery around there.
Sure.
Or scenery around here.
Well, I'm gonna say it's like every parent says this. I've got cute kids. They're easy to photograph. I mean, if you take enough pictures, one of them's gonna turn out decent. I'm always looking at how can I get this picture. I'll drive somewhere and I got a little notebook I keep and I'll write some things down. Oh, I'd like to go back and get a picture of that old barns. See, landscape stuff's cool, but you got to do a certain amount of and I'm not there yet. At nighttime, you see the little streaks of light as cars go by.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I just love taking pictures.
See, I didn't know that about
you.
Something... I mean, that's fascinating.
Yeah, and I haven't driven my wife crazy with it yet, but there's still time. She may get tired of it at some point.
Better watch it, though.
Yes.
But the pre-K program's going well. Support's going well. Your group's still got a fundraiser's coming up, so
yes.
Just stay on track for that.
We'll start screenings coming up here. If you're interested in having your kiddo come to the program for next school year, that always happens in the spring. Talk to us early. Talk to us often. If you've got a kiddo that's turning 3 by September 1st, on or before September 1st, we're interested in having them in the program. That's kind of where it starts.
Any vaccinations they need before?
Always. And our office will talk to you about all those things they're supposed to have before they start school.
Or whatever.
The list is long. But most of it's stuff that most parents are getting
Absolutely.
Anyway, unless there's a certain reason not to. Physicals, eyes, ears, all that. There's certain things that have to be. Lead tests. There's a lead screening.
Lead test?
You have to. They
really?
Still have, they still require a test to make sure you've been checked for... lead ingestion. So again, call our pre-K program 324-3652 and we'll get you on the list to get screened.
Adam, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for coming in. Definitely going to have you back on the program sometime in the near future. So this is always this has been fun. It's
my pleasure. Thank you.
It's glad to get you out of the office for at least 30 minutes out of the day. And that's going to do it for the Wednesday Talk Show. Our guest, Adam Favor from the Litchfield Pre-K program and kindergarten, first grade principal out at the Litchfield School District. So coming up next week, we've got Heather Hampton Nodal coming in. She's going to talk about this the new CEO program that Montgomery County is about to partake in. So stay tuned for that. Until then, we'll talk to you next week. So long.